The school had not put this playbook to practice at any of our buildings. We had been informed that those responsible for safety have raised concerns over the lack of training for quite some time, but those concerns were ignored.
They had some plan, they had some training, but they didn't fully implement what they needed to do to protect the kids at Oxford from what befell them on November 30th, 2021. Now, the anniversary nearly upon us again. District officials, that was Corey Bailey you heard there. He is the former treasurer. He, along with the former board president, Tom Donnelly, have turned whistleblowers. They have said the district has not come clean on what went wrong nearly a year ago. They've discovered a lot. And they have said that when they brought this forward, they were silenced. They were told to keep it on the down low. Corey Bailey joins us live along with attorney Bill Cycli, who is guiding them through this whistleblower process. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Guy. How are you?
I'm good, Bill. Good to reconnect with you. Really, there's two bombshells here. One, that there was a threat assessment plan that was never fully implemented. And two, that when you gained that knowledge, outsiders told you to keep it quiet. Corey, is that the essence of what you're saying here? And what kind of a threat assessment plan was this? Where did it fall down?
The threat assessment is actually based on a Secret Service model that our policy 8400 and many other schools model theirs after. And yes, that's exactly what I'm saying, is that the system broke down. We had the policy in place, but a policy is not any good if it's never acted upon, it's never implemented or trained upon.
So why are you so confident that if this protocol had been fully engaged and they had done, I think it's called a marker process, where they looked for kids that might have been having troubles, why are you so confident that if this had been followed, that November 30th attack could have been prevented?
Because if you've read through the Secret Service document, it outlines that this is a team event, that it's not just one person reviewing things, looking at things on their own, going down their own path, making their own decision. But it's a team event that talk to other people involved. They look at past history with the student. It's a system, and it's a very detailed system. So without having all of the markers in place, the system fell apart.
What would have happened had this plan been fully engaged and they discovered what they discovered on November 29th, searching for ammo, disturbing drawings, certainly signs of a troubled and depressed young man? If the plan had been fully engaged, what should have and what would have happened based on the plan?
It would have been, again, a team event. From the minute that the teacher sent the concerning note to the counselors, the team should have come in. The principal should have been involved. They should have involved the SRO. It should have been a team event. And in the manual, there are several scenarios that talk about when to ask about searching backpacks, when to ask about do they have access to a weapon at home, is it locked up, questions that they would have asked the parents. There's so many things that just fell between the cracks.
And it's all there in the plan, right?
It's all there in the plan.
So, Bill,
that Secret Service document is very detailed.
Yeah. And were you aware of this a year ago or 10 months ago? Were you aware that this plan was there, that it was in place, and what its status was?
I was on the policy committee, and yes, we reviewed and updated policies, wordings that changed, various things. So, yes, I was aware the policy was there. I was aware that there was a higher document that ours was modeled after. It wasn't until afterwards that I really started digging into the wording and started asking questions.
And when you asked those questions, I mean, you said that when you discovered this document, it changed everything. If you were already aware of it beforehand, how did it change things?
Again, I knew policy was there. I had reviewed it briefly because that's not a school board activity. We're not there to implement the policy. We create the policy and then others implement it. But when I started digging into it and started learning about the team, started learning all of the steps that go through it, I knew there was no way a shooting could have happened if we would have followed those processes.
All the things that didn't happen, that should have happened, that the protocol calls for. Bill, when Corey Bailey and Tom Donnelly took their concerns to the full board, I think they had a closed-door meeting September 9th. What happened? Why didn't this go further? Why wasn't the community alerted then?
Well, as you may know, I'm constrained by the law, Guy. What's said in closed session is privileged and confidential. And while my clients can share those conversations with me as their legal counsel, we can't share the content of that meeting until a judge rules. I assume that at some point in the near future, Judge Chabot will make a ruling on whether or not that can be disclosed.
But we had a community hungry for answers, demanding answers, sure, wanting to know what went wrong. And they had discovered this. Corey and Tom had discovered this plan that wasn't fully implemented. Were there outsiders, attorneys for the insurance companies, for instance, that said, no, you can't expose us to enhanced civil damages. We need you not to bankrupt this district. Was that said?
I'm not going to talk about this particular event, but I will tell you that at every crisis that I know about, over the too many years that I've been practicing law, the first group that gets called out is usually the insurance company.
Right.
And they take over the messaging. The insurance company, hires the PR company, not the school district, but the insurance company. They hire the lawyers, et cetera. So you can assume that that probably happened here. What you're talking about, though, Guy, is exactly why, when I received the call from Corey and Tom asking if I could represent them, that I offered to do so, and why they resigned from the board. They simply could not stay silent any longer. And I've represented a lot of great people in my career. I've been very, very lucky in that regard. I don't think I've ever been more honored to represent two people who have demonstrated the kind of integrity that we all hope that other people will demonstrate than Corey Bailey and Tom Donnelly. And this is, they could have taken the easy way out. They could have just said, I can't talk because I'm on the board, stayed on the board, been quiet. They didn't do it.
Is it safe to say, Corey, that the board's attorneys, I mean, the board is the client here, right? But the board's attorneys did withhold information from you and really tried to suppress that information. Is that true?
Well, it's safe to say that their intention was different than our intention. We wanted to get the truth. We wanted to do what was necessary to get the message out to the community. They had another interest in protecting the school.
Guy, if I could step in for just a second, you know, the board very early on made a commitment to be transparent. So transparency can take a lot of different roads. You know, it can mean a lot of different things. It really means being honest. So if transparency meant we are not going to say anything about this until all the litigation is over, that's what the board should have said. That's what the messaging should have said.
Right.
Instead, they said, we are going to tell you these facts as they come out. It was only later that these two gentlemen found out that wasn't happening.
Well, they found out that their attorneys weren't even telling them that the prosecutor's office said, hey, don't wait for us. You can have your third-party review without our investigation being completed. And that message was never transmitted to the board. Yeah. Corey, what do you hope to achieve with this?
I hope that every other school district learns from this mistake. I hope those in Lansing will look at this and make this a mandate, just like they do fire drills, and require this level of training to prevent this. I think it needs to start there, and that's the message I hope to get out.
All right. Corey Bailey, Bill Seikle, we thank you for your time. Really, two giant bombshells here from this news conference, and we're awaiting a statement from the district, have yet to receive one. But they have been steadfast in saying that they believe they did everything and followed all the proper protocols. Gentlemen, thank you. And Bill, I agree. This took a lot of moxie on the part of both of them to resign and tell their story. And we certainly appreciate it.
Thank you,
Guy. Take care of yourself.
You too. The former treasurer, Corey Bailey, your thoughts on this? It sounds like they were more interested in protecting the piggy bank than in giving parents answers. Again, this idea of parental rights keeps creeping into it. More about covering the backside than delivering answers to parents. 1-800-859-0957. 1-800-859-0WJR.